Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. I am back to the old traditional 111 Productions, iHeart Radio. I am joined by my intrepid crew, Tara Sue, Danielle Romo, and the wet-haired, just freshly out of the shower, Amy Sugarman.
I tried so hard to be on time.
From her San Francisco mansion, by the way.
Yeah, it's a big mansion.
She moves around a lot.
It's basically a studio. I tried so hard to be on time. Because this is like a big day. See, Tara looks like freshly blow dried and like ready for a proper finale event.
In my defense, I went to the gym at 7. I was home by 8. I fully showered and got everything done before 9. So
nice.
If it makes you feel better, Amy, I'm a combination of you and Tara. I showered. However, my hair is still half wet. It's not fully
dry. My hair
dry.
Is dripping wet. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have all this time. I'll be all organized of all my notes. I was running frantic, like, but what's going
everyone's
on
like,
there?
Please get to this episode.
Going on
and
here,
we're
Scott?
All experiencing torrential downpours wherever we are. So it's like an inside day anyway. Good day to be watching Gilmore.
An inside day.
I was about to say, isn't a rainy day a great day for Gilmore Girls?
It's really the best. It kind of gives you that feeling like you're in the Northeast. It's a little cold. It's cloudy, maybe snowing, and an episode's coming on. And if this episode...
Oh my God, this episode's called Raincoats.
Raincoats and Recipes.
And Raincoats and Recipes, which is a lethal combination for insiders.
Okay, so this is season 4, episode 22, Raincoats and Recipes, air date May 18th, 2004. It's a big weekend for Lorelai. The Dragonfly Inn is having a test run with friends from Stars Hollow. Lorelai invites her parents, and Emily finally admits what's going on in her and Richard's marriage. Jason Styles shows up and almost ruins Luke's chances at Lorelai, but a big gesture finally makes them realize their feelings for each other. Lastly, Rory and Dean commit a big mistake that will have irreparable damage to his marriage.
All right, let's get into this. Let's do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, and we're off. What'd you think of the episode?
You guys go first. Danielle and Scott.
I don't want to go first.
Oh, you don't?
You go, Scott.
Scott, you go.
Best I've seen. Best of the best. Delightful, joyful, funny, light, wonderful. Yeah. Little bit of heaviness there with Richard and Emily, but that's fine. You kind of needed it. And
Lorelai and Rory. Oh my God.
Big.
I am team Lorelai. She really was correct, but we'll get to that.
Come on. Being so hard on that kid. Come on.
Oh, she was not happy.
Well, you could cut that sexual tension between those two with a knife. Wow.
True, but it doesn't make it right. Wow.
This is what I'm going to say. Lorelai, finally somebody in that show called Rory out, and that's what Lorelai did in this episode, and I could not be more happy.
And she called her out, like, gnarly. Like
she did. She needed to.
She was heartbroken, disappointed, mm-hmm. but she wasn't mad. She was just disgusted.
She's like, what are you doing? This is not you, mm-hmm. you know? Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, I love that.
And then the end. Oh, God.
I know.
I think a great beginning, a great ending, a great middle. I mean, it just...
How's that kiss there?
It lacked for
nothing.
That
double kiss.
So let's save that, okay? Let's build up to that. Just like the show so artfully did. Let's not rush to it.
Should we go in order?
Should we stand still?
I think we should.
Scott, you missed Danielle. I didn't miss it.
Should we stand still?
Should we stand still?
Get it? Would you stand still?
Would you please just stand still?
Let's not go there yet. I know everybody's like, you know, revving their engines for the Luke and Lorelai 500.
Where is Mrs. Scott Patterson when we need her? Seriously, I wonder what she thought of that.
You know, she actually walked in when I was watching it last night, and right during that pivotal scene, and she just smiled and smiled and smiled.
I kind of mad. I forgot to ask her what it's like when she sees you kissing Lorelai, but we'll have to say that for part two.
I don't think she's thrilled, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's thrilled by that.
It's also your job that you've like the had smile for four seasons.
You know, the smile just becomes kind of frozen. It kind of gets in that like kind of. I got that.
That must be tough. I'm not gonna lie. Like, that's tough.
Yeah.
It's only tough because like so many people like fall in love with their co-stars. Like, do you know what I mean? That's like, oh.
But also, it's like your significant other is known for having this groundbreaking kiss with a different girl, you know, like even though it's not like Scott Patterson, but like you as Luke, like everyone knows this kiss.
It's so
true. But we have a child together, so it's like a little
she's got a leg up on Lorelai.
It's like, you know, she's got the legit card on the fictional character
and the I think there's like legal paperwork too, so I think you're solid. Oh, yeah. I think she's solid, but
very, very legal. Yes, extremely legal in the state of California.
Okay, let's go from the beginning.
Let's do
First of all, Rory was so like speedy with the pot of pasta and the mac and cheese, and she can't sleep. And I was just like, is she on drugs? Like, what is going on?
Mm.
She was definitely setting up for the fact that she's going to make a massive mistake this episode. You know, like she was so frantic.
I like that Lorelai just closed the door and blocked it. She's like,
right. Good, great opening. And I don't know. That's just sort of normal adjusting to college schedule that she hasn't, you know, that's how she kind of lives now. Now she's coming back into the place, you know, and coming home and imposing that on Lorelai, and it's like, what is going on here?
I also thought for two people that don't grocery shop, they had an extraordinary amount of fruit in that fruit bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they had food in general. They never have food.
Right. That's why I was like stunned by the fruit bowl.
I think they cut all those fruit buying scenes out in the final edit. because they're not compelling. They're just buying fruit.
Not that good.
They should just.
And I thought Lorelai's tank top that she sleeps in was very cute.
You like that?
Yeah. You know, I got to keep my fashion.
Maybe going. Luke would stop by. You never know. Got to be ready, right?
Got to have a piece of fruit ready.
Boy, we're going to cut that out, aren't we?
No. We sure are.
We might.
And then there's the funny line. Great to have you home. Mm-hmm, great mm-hmm, to have you home, hon.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So yeah, perfect I mean, beginning. Yeah, it was great. It wasn't my like favorite opening scene of all time, but no complaints.
It's just nice to see her back home, though.
Yes.
Oh yeah, off the phone. Mm-hmm.
It was actually maybe my favorite opening.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was short. It was shortened. It was easy. It was funny. And it was.
That's a good point. I wonder if they had to keep it tight because there's so much to get to. They couldn't like, because some of those openings are longer.
Right. And I'm so glad that they cut really late. Like great writing. You know, when you're deciding how to write any scene.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you, all the books tell you to cut in as late as possible into the scene and get out of the scene as early as possible.
Explain that. What does that mean?
So you don't want to do all the hi, hellos, how are you? Nice to see you. This is blah, 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 blah. So when you see movies that, you know, people are constantly introducing themselves, it's like, that's bad writing.
Okay. That's interesting. True.
So I'm glad they cut into it after she got home and she got settled in and she just kind of, you know, we didn't get the scene where Lorelai gets woken up by this door closing and it's Rory and the whole thing. It's just like they're in process.
Yeah.
It's like she's already awake. She's drowsy. She's kind of skulking around like she's tired. And it was just great. You know, it's like you've got all the information you need. Right.
Okay. That's a good, cool thing good to writing. Learn. That's cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good then writing. We learn that it's going to be the test run at the inn and that they've invited, you know, their friends, the townspeople. Although I have a few flags on the play that there were some people I'd never seen before that got invited to the inn. I'm like, what the hell are they? But we'll get to that. And Michelle really wants to invite the dogs. So that's kind of where we're at.
Him comparing the dogs to Rory.
It's so relatable. That's how I feel about my dog. Mm-hmm. Like, this is more important than any of your kids.
And, you know, in a macro sense, I think it was really clever to end this season with the opening of the Dragonfly.
Yeah, because, I agree with you.
Because it was such a celebration, and it really gave the audience something that they were waiting for.
Yeah,
and had you know, paid the price of admission to witness. And now you get to witness it. You don't have to wait all summer all summer because we go on our hiatus.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They gave him a nice meal, a nice completion.
Did anyone notice that Lorelai was wearing a dragonfly t-shirt? Like,
yes.
A
t-shirt
with dragonfly on it.
Yes.
Big giant dragonfly.
Yeah. So, okay, a couple comments. One is, I definitely thought about, I cannot believe everyone, when they watched this the first time, had to wait so long. I mean, this is what? Is this May? And we don't get the payoff until September. Now, we are in a different experience, and so are all the people that have watched it on Netflix and DVDs or whatever. But like those OG original fans had to wait months on that cliffhanger.
Yeah.
They got a lot in this episode. They got a lot of loose ends tied up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That like they weren't left ends with like, will they or won't
so if,
they?
Right. So if you're gonna it's not that kind of waiting. It's not torturous. It's like it's like joyful anticipation. Like, oh, is it gonna work out between those two? Is it gonna what's gonna happen with Rory? How the dragonfly is up and going? You know, it's all positive. Everything's positive.
Not Rory and Dean.
I don't know. I kind of see that as a positive. I like that. I think.
Wait, really?
I think that's the most interesting storyline of this entire thing.
Of course, but it's gnarly.
You know, they're kids. They're feeling so much. They're kids.
Oh my
they're
God,
so in love.
Scott.
Oh,
I agree with you on a different way because I feel like I didn't love it, but I appreciated the fact that this is happening to her because she's going to learn so much from it. You know what I mean? Like that's where I was coming from, at least.
I like it, but I think she should have. I would have liked running off with Jess.
Me too. Like, I completely agree with you. I wanted another Jess moment.
That's a bridge too far.
I would have picked the Jess moment over this, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. That's so funny, Amy. I had the same thought.
That the writers did this because it makes Rory so flawed.
Yes.
Like, this and is a better, compelling story since we are watching a TV show, but like... I still wanted her to go with Jess.
If she's going to do the massive sabotage screw up on her life with Jess, the Dean thing, sleeping with Dean was a good starter kit, right? At least it gets us a step closer to like, oh, now she's capable of blowing up her life big time.
And that is a really important, Scott, say that again, because that is such an important note for anyone who hasn't seen this.
Mm-hmm.
She really does know how to screw shit up.
But the thing is, the thing I appreciate about it is she's following her heart. She screwed up. She didn't do anything. She may have done something wrong morally, but she didn't do it. You know, she didn't do it with malicious intent.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know what I mean? She's following her heart. And it's difficult for adults not to follow their hearts. Imagine with all those hormones raging as a 19-year-old, 18-year-old.
Right. We'll get to this. But in her heart, I think she actually believed that Lindsay and Dean were done.
Mm-hmm.
Like in her heart, right? And it's not till her mom points out how not done they are and then the phone call, which we'll get to. We're going out of
order. Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay. I want to bring something up that's going a tad controversial. Just rocketed right into the middle of my brain, and I have to spit it out here. What if it's if Rory is flawed and she's becoming flawed, and yay for that and all that. Okay, and I want to say this the right way so as not to trigger people, but it's like I say, what are the holes in her life? How is she filling the holes in her life? The lack of a father figure.
Right.
In the house 24/7, you know, a traditional family, nuclear family unit.
Yeah.
She didn't have that. She had her mom, who was fantastic in every way, but a little on the, shall we say, freewheeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
her mom's like Lorelai's kind of like a hippie.
Yeah. You know, she just
says what she, I mean, and a great example for a kid and all heart and soul. But did she, in a practical sense, set the best example for her daughter every situation. Not that everybody does, but I mean, but how risky is her upbringing compared to a traditional upbringing? And maybe this is how she's flawed. Right?
I think that you make such an interesting topic here because this is where we could address, should a mother and daughter be best friends?
Right.
Maybe
that's,
not.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes. You've succinctly.
And I think when necessary, Lorelai really slips into parenting mode. You know, like we saw it really evident when Rory and Dean fell asleep at Miss Patty's and they forgot to come home. And she really, even though Lorelai knew nothing happened, it's like that was a real parenting moment. And there were a few others. And I think that's why it sort of shocks Rory, because this was a very firm parenting moment and a parent being disappointed. And Rory's sort of like, what are you talking about? Like, Rory literally thought Lorelai was going to be happy about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
She thought the big problem was, sorry, didn't tell you in advance.
Right.
And so I don't think it occurred to her until she...
And she brought up the fact that she's like, well, you slept with Dad when he was with...
Oh, I was like, good comeback, Rory. That took me back. I was like, oh, snap.
Hello. There it is.
And Lorelai's response was, that's different. And so I think you do have a point there. Like, she is she's looking up to her mom, but that's not a traditional household.
And let me ask you guys this. You know, can you even imagine there being a husband in that household now?
No.
I mean, we're light years away from that on Gilmore Girls. It is such a single parent home. I'm not...
house too.
I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I think that Rory got very lucky with having such a spectacular mom, but that's a lot of heavy lifting for one person. to raise a child.
We knew it when Max tried to move in or sleep over. Right. It was like, this is not.
But seriously, I mean, it's like the gap there. And if it, even if you want to see it that way, maybe it's not a gap. Maybe for a lot of people, it's like, yay, there's no, you know, there's no husband there. There's no father there. So, but can you even imagine there being somebody there? Even a Luke or anybody?
There's no space.
There isn't.
There's no space.
Right.
Physically and figuratively, figuratively, in that house for anyone else.
Yeah. They got to work it out themselves between the two of them.
We'll get to that because I have so much more to talk about.
So does it make Rory a stronger person ultimately? You know what I'm saying? That she has to sort of, you know, in a lot of situations, raise her mother.
Like be the
parent to her.
But not on this episode.
Well, in the one line, and Tara points it out, but you slept with Christopher.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. We're going to debate all this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, okay, so I do like she's putting Post-its everywhere for the work that needs to be done, which is just, like, kind of hilarious. Are you a Post-it people, or are you, like, to-do list people?
Both.
Yeah. Wait, sidebar. Are you guys good at, like, accomplishing your to-do list? Like, are you guys those people that are, oh, my God, look at Tara.
should see my to-do list.
Oh, wait, there's that, and then there's my calendar sheet for the week,
too. Oh, my God. But do you get it done every day?
Yeah, I check mark as I go.
And if I don't, I roll it
over. If I don't finish, I roll it over to the next day.
I'm kind of slap happy. Like, now what? Okay. So what do we think?
Well, what is it? Dry your hair, take a shower, put your makeup on.
Seriously, list is like, try to get dressed and eat
Shovel the driveway. call the other proprietors of my other mansions.
Yeah.
Make sure the windows are closed. Make sure.
What do you think of Lulu and Kirk?
I love them together.
Me too.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know how weird he is. Like, she's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll play that whole storyline through. So Lulu is so sweet and she sort of worships him, which is totally insane.
Yeah.
And then I love that he comes to you. He goes to Luke always to be his guiding light, his brother, his father figure, his help, all that. And then you hear like, oh, we've had a lot of sex. We just never slept over. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it really was like a, whoa, all right.
But he's so sweet. She's so excited about it. And he wants to make her happy. And then he has the night terrors. The whole thing is just like, oh, my God.
Also, I was thinking, I was like, how has no one in the town known about his night terrors? Exactly. He just runs out, you know,
is naked everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Absolute classic Kirk scene. That might be my favorite Kirk scene.
I agree because it's such a Gilmore way to break up the kiss, which we can get to, too, that it's like. Because how are you going to end that, right? How do you move on from that other than him? Ah! I also thought it was very funny when he says to Lorelai, is Luke here yet? Like, that's funny. The bit, it was sort of this comic relief that came through the whole thing. Him going into the room, him finding Luke later. Like, the whole thing was just a funny bit throughout the whole episode.
Yeah. I don't think Kirk has been better used in an episode than this.
Yeah. I think that's true. He, even though it was still Kirkish, mm-hmm. nutty and sort of over the top.
Mm-hmm. I like how he comes into Luke's apartment and just like, oh, I didn't realize it was this small up here. Like,
and he just goes up there. Yeah.
He just goes.
Yeah. Walks right in.
Doesn't he say something like, I'm all right, I'm going to ninja kick her. I think I love her. Like, it's just a whole mess. The Oreos, how he set out the chocolate covered Oreos that said, I love you or something. Right. But then she started eating.
She ate them before she understood because she was hungry.
You know what would be so good is like, if this were now, if this show was on now, you would totally have like a online series of like Kirk and Lulu. And their life. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like a weird,
like a little spinoff.
Yeah, but not like on TV, like how they do those things. Like,
yeah,
how there's like weird
Gilmore Girls After Dark.
Yeah, like you would totally watch Kirk. Them. Yeah, you'd be like, I need 8 minutes of them and just and how weird they are. Anyway, so I think that pretty much does that play through that sort of whole thing.
Yeah, minus the part with the kiss, but we'll get to that. Right, yeah. It's like,
all right, okay, so then we've got the kitchen bit, the drama that she's got 7 workers, but she can only afford 5, and that sort of keeps coming up and is also sort of comic relief.
Mm-hmm. And she forgets her anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a great moment. Not only for Suki's reaction, but notice in that scene, if you could bring it up, Jackie, I want to see this scene because there's a... there's a beautiful little piece of acting on Yannick's part. Because he just takes a drink out of his cup as she's scampering out because she forgot. And it just put the perfect button on
that
scene.
That's the thing. You notice so many of those things when you watch it the 4th, 5th time.
Yeah. Man, I mean, it's just so, it makes it so much better and funnier. Yeah, watch.
Oh, good. Okay, so we'll see.
Yeah, there we go. Like, man, did she screw up? She's going to be.
I also love, I mean, we'll get to this because I belly laughed so hard at one point in this episode that I will tell you about, but how Lorelai is just a complete weirdo now, like,
oh my god,
coming and she's just all weird and like, what did you think watching her, like how goofy and nervous and all giddy and just messy and just She is.
You're talking about Lorelai?
Yeah, just when? Because we know she knows she likes you.
Oh,
she
that scene, that scene in the foyer. Yeah, it was.
Well, no, it starts at the diner.
I thought it was a little bit before the diner.
Yeah, the diner was great too. Yeah,
when they say Luke's coming, and she's like, "Oh, he's coming."
Do you know how hard that is to do? Do you know how hard that is to pull that off? Like that, I mean, like falling like that, and make it look like it was natural.
We're going a little out of order, but the diner scene is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
But wait a minute, have we gotten to the diner scene yet?
No, we're going. Oh, okay. We're skipping over Lane's apartment, so let's talk about that really quickly. Mm-hmm. So. We see Rory, that we know that they're going to go to Luke's for lunch because she's got the sticky on her head. So then we go into the apartment and they're playing the video games. The apartment looked beautifully clean though.
I agree. I was like, where are the boys? Like, why is there not like
it was so clean.
Takeout on the counter or something? I don't know. So clean.
And then we see that she's hiding her snacks on the floorboard.
Wouldn't be Lane without a floorboard.
Yeah.
And then she sort of tells Lane about the situation that Jess came and, you know, she said she didn't know what she says. She didn't know what to say. I very clearly remember the no, because I was upset about it. And then this is where you start to see Rory talking about Dean, and Dean is and dependable. Jess. And
yeah.
And so
and she talks about him in like the present tense and not the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Because with Jess, they set it up so well, because she talks about Jess first, and she goes, like, you know, he's great, but then the next minute he's not, and he's so unpredictable. And then she talks about Dean, and she goes, like, how he was so safe and
she says
and
Dean,
nice to her.
Is that's where she says is. Dean is dependable. Was.
Yeah. Was, yeah.
And that she felt that she blew it and didn't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's when I was like, oh, God, something's going to happen.
Yeah, for Scott and Danielle, what were y'all thinking hearing her talk like that?
I
had a feeling that something was going to happen between Dean and Rory right then and there. I was like, had fingers crossed for Jess, an escape plan with Jess, and then this just like threw it down the toilet.
No, I don't care what show it is or film. I like seeing people who are wrestling with their true feelings. Mm. You know, it's compelling. It's a nice thing to watch if they're not struggling too much and it's not, you know, causing too much anxiety. But it's like a person
coming in with the good notes, because it's like, yeah, I do like watching it.
I just think people are really, you know, when they're being truthful like that, they're really beautiful to me, you know, and they're vulnerable and their vulnerability. I love that. I love to see her like that. I love to see any character like that, you know? So, I mean, especially look at a Mrs. Kim when she softens.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean? It's just, it's very nice to see.
Well, yeah, it's also the opposite of boring. We're completely hooked into everything happening here.
And we forgive them all their sins, right?
See, yeah.
All our judgments go out the window, our prior judgments. And it's like, wow, they're just people like everybody else, and they're vulnerable.
Trying to
figure it out. Yeah, man. You know, I only speak of peace. I only speak of peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the next scene is probably one of the best scenes in all of Gilmore Girls. Like, it is so effing hilarious. The script is hilarious. The physical stuff, what do they call it? Physicality? Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. So, okay, mm-hmm. So Roy's walking through town. They get to the diner. And I think Lorelai says basically, like, have you noticed anything different about Luke? Wait till he comes over, right? And then you come over and you're just, like, polite. And then they go outside, and it's just like, oh my God. She's like, I think I'm dating Luke.
That was a great conversation.
Yeah.
That was a classic conversation.
I love when she goes, what's your damage, Heather? Like, she's just like, oh my God. Mom has lost it.
Right, right, right.
Like, it's just so hilarious.
But isn't it great that the comedy comes from. It's so great because she's such a strong woman and she's such a capable woman and an independent woman and she's taking a stand against her oppressive family and she's doing it all on her own. And yet here she is kind of gotten loopy for a guy.
Jackie, can we please, you know, I know some people are torn on whether they like us watching it, but can we please watch the part?
Oh, let them tear. Let them tear.
It's just when she goes, when you say, is everything okay?
Right.
She just falls. Like, I laughed so hard. Oh, my God.
There's nothing funnier than these two going back
it
and
is
forth.
So, okay, so here we
it's
go. They
really
come back
funny.
In the diner.
Watch this,
and she's
watch
trying
this.
To be all cool, right?
Yeah.
Do it again. I had to watch it four times. Jackie, do it.
And look at her one. Sitting down. Like, just.
Like she's all Luke cool. Is, like, Luke in the so face unfazed. Acting. Guys, the face acting. One more time, Jackie.
Look at the couple behind them. Look at the couple behind the table.
There it is, there it is. Look how cool she is walking in. Look at that. Boom.
A little overacting on that background actor's part, though. Do him one more time. Look at he's a little over the top, the background actor.
Yeah.
The girl's better. The server did good. Oh my God, I laughed.
Oh,
did you guys laugh
it.
Out loud?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I forgot that was in there.
Was and then fun. This part. Ugh.
And then this is so tragic. She's so happy and she waves at him and he's just like.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, that's a D move by Dean there. Like,
no, it's not.
He didn't even wave back like politely.
Are you kidding me? The love
Amy,
of his life was he thinks she's with Jess and is into
he practically
Jess.
Got get slapped it, across the
are you
face the last
me?
Time they hung
after
out.
He drove to Yale.
What is he like the cab
her.
Driver and then go
it's
away?
It's like you all like forgot he's effing married. Are you kidding me? That dude's married. Oof. Married.
And
married.
100%.
So
but
he can
yeah, on
be
paper, on paper he is, but in reality.
Oh man, you're going up against Lorelai on that one because she's like, "Is he have a ring?" And then we'll get to it. I'm sorry, I'm getting so over my skis, but that's still a jerk move, Dean. Like
no, it's
he's
not.
Married. He's supposed to be her friend, and then he's all butthurt because Jess showed up. It's like we're back in high school again.
He butthurt. It's not. It's his feelings. His heart. His heart got trampled on again.
And he should have waved and said,
"It has nothing to do with his butt." It's everything. His heart hurt. Let's just clarify it here.
Then he should have waited. He should have done this. I'll do some acting for you.
Mm. Oh, good.
He should have said, come out here. I need to talk to you. Or he should have gone in the diner and been like, Rory, I need to talk to you.
No. And said what?
Not this.
He wasn't capable. What did he need to say?
He's all happy. She's like, hi.
His heart was injured. His heart was not functioning properly.
She doesn't know. She's like, this is a married dude. Oh. Who's supposed to be my friend.
Hey, maybe here's a blind spot for Rory. She's not aware of the pain that she's causing Dean.
But he's also been rejected by her so many times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just over it.
It's like she's not thinking about how he feels. She's supposed to be in love with him and have feelings and thinking about him, but she doesn't think about how he feels post Jess showing up at the last minute and how bad that looked. Come on.
He's married.
I understand that, but she's not recognizing that fully, right? I think maybe 70, 80, 90% she's not recognizing it. And then when she decides to, you know, do the deed there, you know, in her bedroom, then she's 100%. But there are degrees. And I just, you know, that's maybe an inconsistency there with that character. It's like, why isn't she thinking of how he feels in that moment?
That's
and why
true.
Is she just waving that's at true. Him like, you know, nothing happened?
That's fair. Fair. I'm going to give you that. Fair. But I still think he's married. Like, the married guy's all mad because the girl he's not married to has maybe a guy interested in her. Like, it's a little.
Okay, he's married. He's what, 18, 19? He has no children. It's not going well. It's not like he's 35 and he's got four kids. And
I think here's the thing,
you know
too.
What I mean? It's a little different. I think it's a little different. I get what you're saying. It's a moral issue, obviously, but he's not so in deep with Lindsay that you know, something else can spell
out. Let's just say this is friends, two friends. Dean and Rory have no relationship together whatsoever. If I'm driving far away to pick up my friend and take him back home and they tell me, go home,
right.
I'd be like, screw yourself,
yes,
come on.
Yes, exactly. Buff
like, not even a thank you? Like, what the hell? Yeah. I just saved you.
Are you kidding me? Just
well,
go.
It's very complicated, but also I'll repeat this. Jess, we all love to criticize Jess. Jess broke up with makeup counter girl
Shane
before he went for Rory.
They That's weren't a very married. Good
point. No, but
and
it's
he, even
and
better.
He, and he wasn't even
more
that,
important.
He wasn't even that into her anyway because that girl was just all worshiping.
Correct,
of him.
But Jess still but, did the right thing.
And
he
he's
still
not that
did
into
the right
thing. You
can't
compare these two situations at all.
Of course you can.
No, you can't.
Jess did the right thing in a lesser situation, and Dean's doing the wrong thing.
It's easier to do the right thing in a lesser situation. How's he supposed to? Man, you're playing devil's advocate. You're playing the role of Lorelai right now. I know what you're doing.
I can be loosey-goosey with people in their bad marriages, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's like, Dean, you're the good guy. You're a good guy.
Yeah, but how bad must that marriage be? I'm sorry to interrupt, but how bad must that marriage be? Because we're talking about two young people and they're still in their teens.
Well, I don't even know if it's that bad. They got married way too young. They were idiots, but they did it.
Right, but that's explains everything.
But do the right thing, Dean. Get separated. Move out. Do the right thing and then kiss Rory all you want.
And then we've got nothing to watch. Then there's no tension. Then it's
true. I mean,
boring.
I understand. Look,
then it's not real because that's not real life.
No, that's true too. People don't do the right thing. You're right.
People don't do the right thing.
Correct. I would
say. And if they did and they went to the other person would probably say, I changed my mind. It would take so long that the other person would meet somebody else.
In 8 out of 10 situations, if this were real life, they definitely would have kissed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it doesn't make it like right. It doesn't make Dean a good guy. Dean's not a good guy right now.
I can't judge these kids. I can't judge them. Their hearts are full when they are together. Whatever dysfunction that they are both bringing to that union, it still feels full to them. It still feels meaningful and real and deep. and they're recapturing something, right? She gets to maybe a do-over to do that relationship right, and he gets a second chance at it, and a way to wipe out all the bad feelings he's getting from his marriage.
I think they deserve a second chance, but he needs to do the right thing.
Yep.
We're going out.
I think he is doing the right thing by
sleeping with Rory,
like living truthfully and not living a lie.
He's not, but you do realize that his marriage is a lie. Like if there's anyone that's not living truthfully, it's Dean. It's Dean. Like we found that out.
I think he went
when
into,
she called the phone. Where was he? He was back at home.
I think he's living.
You know, he's lying.
There is a level of deception, yes. But I think he has obviously checked out of his marriage.
Then get it annulled or get divorced.
Right. He's checked out, but he's physically still there. Right. Like he's mentally checked out. But he's leading Rory on saying, I'm gonna leave Lindsay. She agrees, when at the end of the day, clearly Lindsay wasn't a part of that conversation.
And
she's so busy making all those sandwiches, and
he also has never told Lindsay, I'm not happy. She's the one that's telling him.
Exactly. She wears the pants in that family, and he's afraid of her. Yes.
No. Like my point is, he needs to say something. I don't think he's afraid of her.
I think he's just stuck. He just did this thing, and now he's married to her and her mom.
She's a different kind of gal, and she's taken over that relationship. To the point where she's forcing him to drop out of college and do this because I want a condo. We don't hear the fights that they have or the disagreements they have, but I can hear them. I know what their dialogue is. It ain't good.
Say sorry, we got to get divorced.
Yeah,
life doesn't work that way. You know that. Come on.
Look, I think this is playing out exactly how it would play out in real life.
Yes, I do too.
That being said, it doesn't make me have to think Dean's a great guy.
I think he's just human. These are human beings, and this is life. And I think it's a brilliant portrayal. And again, the writing is spot on because this is how life works. But they managed to elevate it and make it funny and make it deep and compelling because it's real. We wouldn't feel this way if it wasn't real.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think it is real, and it is going how it would go in reality. Right.
Unfortunately,
but Dean's still kind of
being a tool,
bit of a tool.
Stop it! You guys are being too judgy. Come on.
Okay,
he's
so
just a kid.
He's a kid who made a mistake.
He's a kid who made a mistake.
I mean, where is?
I don't think that's a mistake because it wasn't a one-time thing. Like they clearly kissed at the inn, and then they hooked up.
No, they never kissed.
Oh, sorry, they almost kissed. They almost kissed.
I think we're going to count that as a kiss.
It was close enough.
But this is something that's not like that. Just like they saw each other for the first time in months, and they were like, "Oh my god, I love
you." Yeah, it's ongoing.
It's been brewing for a few weeks.
I mean, here's the debate we're going to have in a minute too. Would Rory actually have slept with someone who is married on a 5 minutes in her childhood bedroom? Like, come on, that does not track. But we'll get to that. So first we have Friday night dinner. So we're at the awkward.com Friday night dinner where they're like maybe eating rabbit, but it's not rabbit. It's rabbit sauce. And then Lorelai decides she's just really going to stick it to them and invite them both to the opening of the inn, which I thought, all right. And it was a funny moment. And then somebody said something about Haley Mills and I laughed so hard. Did you get that joke?
I didn't. What was the
okay,
Haley Mills?
So
I know who she is, but
she was in the Parent Trap.
Oh,
and so I'm sure we'll talk about it in pop culture, but like it was a Parent Trap joke because she's basically doing a Parent Trap.
Well, look who died and made you Haley Mills. That's the line.
Pretty good. So anyway, what do we think? Let's talk about the Gilmores. Let's just play that through.
And what's going on there? We don't know why they're separated, do we? We have no idea.
No, because Lorelai is so mad at Richard for the whole Digger thing and that it really put the relationship, or could have put the relationship at risk between her and Lorelai and Rory. And then Richard really didn't listen to Emily, and we know why.
You think that's the reason that they're separated?
I think that's a cherry on top because penal and lot has a lot to do with
right.
this. Yeah, probably. Agree. You know, agree. Like,
probably. So you think it was a couple of straws that was the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this one was just a straw that broke the camel's back, huh?
I think so.
Huh.
So then, you know, okay, so we've already talked about Kirk and Luke, and now we're at the inn, and it's time for the inn to open. The doors are missing, which ended
I love.
Up being
I love how it's like follow your door.
That was such a funny bit.
Oh, it was so good. Follow your door to your room. It took me a second to be like, what?
How adorable were the golf carts pulling up too?
So cute.
Great shot, wasn't it? And there's Taylor in all his glory.
Yeah.
You know, and Miss Patty.
Totally crushing it with his notes.
With his notes,
gosh, yeah.
But guys, I do have a flag on the play. So Jackie, can you do me a solid? Will you pull up where the golf carts pull up? Did you guys see where this was when you were on the lot?
Yes.
Oh my God, this would be amazing. Okay, so see, here comes all these people, right? And this is supposed to be like the town people.
Look at Taylor in the background.
Who the heck is this guy?
Look at Taylor in the background inspecting.
Totally. First of all, that's great acting.
Are you talking about this couple?
Who are those people? Two total randos got invited.
Yeah, yeah.
Total but then again, randos. When we're in the diner, when we're in the Scott's diner, like,
that's my cousin.
Total rando.
Oh, man.
I have a picture right in front of this, Amy. I'll send it to you.
So jealous. I'm so jealous.
Look at Taylor.
That
whole,
I'm still so mad I couldn't go to that. Anyway, so there's some randos. Taylor, I actually think Taylor's one of the best parts of this whole thing.
Oh, me too.
So, okay. So then now Rory goes in and she sees Dean and they sort of have their confrontation and the almost kiss. What did you think?
I thought it was a great... It was just such a scene that was so fraught with feelings and great acting and tension and man, it was great. It was great. Those two play off each other beautifully. The tension between those two is just palpable.
Yes, loved but nobody's it. Like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, yeah. 100%, because literally they like talk to each other like...
Are you anti-love? Like, what is going on over there?
No, I'm very pro-love.
Like, to Amy and Danielle, these two are in love. Can we just celebrate it?
Yeah, but look what happens at the end.
I mean, all you want to talk about is paperwork and legality and morality.
No, you had your chance and you broke up with him. Like, well, and also, like,
come
he
on.
Is well, married. How heartbroken.
16.
Oh, I think it would be totally
she's a kid.
Different.
She's still a kid.
Yeah, but when you get married and you're committing to someone, I think it's very different. If Dean was single, this would be a totally different
100%.
conversation. 100%. But he's not like
and it would be a
around.
Snooze
he's
fest,
married.
Is what it would be.
Yeah, correct, but it's the moral of it.
I'm getting a stomachache because here's the thing. Yeah, it's all sexy and cute. Oh, they almost kissed. Look at the tension. This is so great. The last scene of this episode is so important to think about.
Yeah.
Rory is heartbroken. Not only is she heartbroken because Dean is married and he is living there and she's answering his phone.
You know what?
Can
we just put a pin in that thought? Because I think it's a huge thought. That's a huge beat. So
my
why don't we? I think we're going to have to do a part two here. Okay. So let's just. We're going to log off here. We'll do a part two. Okay.
I am fired up and I'm starting to feel a little sick. Like it's just making me.
Go ahead and take another bite. Swallow what you're
I need eating. Some water.
grab some water. Listen, we'll be back with part two. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you in a second. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
All summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.